Politiker Tip Show, episode 71 for the week of July 10th, 2006.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacker, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Fumo Jive.
I'm your guest host, Freak in a Box.
I'm Expanded Flame.
And I'm Cyclonic.
And we have a full house. We have four people this time. This is the first time we've done that.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, I think so.
And hey, so...
I think we did one time before.
Have we? It must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, there was one time.
I don't even remember. That's sad. So, hey, so let's say where we are in the world. This is like, this is crazy. I'm in Orlando, Florida, in the U.S.
I'm in Oregon, in the U.S.
I'm in Istanbul, Turkey.
And I'm in Canada.
Crazy.
Wow.
It is, man.
For some reason, that just blows my mind. That we're even talking right now, and like, wow, okay. Anyway. So.
Turkey?
Our conversation is covering the world.
I know. So this is the tip show where we're going to be talking about all kinds of ways to help you guys level up and stay there. We're going to be covering all kinds of general tips. Normally we have the map of the month, but this time we kind of did the variety show to where we made it to where there's really no map of the month this time. The reason is because we've had a bunch of tips that people wanted to send in that they haven't been able to because they've been waiting for that specific map of the month. So, you know, I figure once in a while we'll just let that go and let people send in whatever map they want, you know, so we don't have those build up too long. So everything is pretty much all lumped together in a big mess of good tips. So there's some good stuff here.
Hopefully good.
We also have a interview coming up later with Mother Goat, who is... Yeah, well, you'll find out a little bit about who Mother Goat is on the interview. He's a map developer for Halo CE maps. He makes Halo-related music, among other things. So, good guy, and it turns out to be a really good interview. We're going to play part of that, if not all of it, later on. So, what do we got though? Oh, I was on the Bungie.net community spotlight. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we saw your... smile there on the front page.
Yeah.
Dude, that was pretty cool. Yeah. I was pretty pumped about that, man. I didn't want to tell anybody because I wasn't really sure when it was going to go live, but you know, I ended up working out, so it was awesome. So if you guys want to check that out, it's on Bungie.net. KP kind of did an interview with me, and you know, it was cool because really I got the opportunity to really promote Podtacular in the whole process, you know, so that was kind of my whole deal with the whole thing, but it worked out good.
Nice.
So what else we got here?
Some more users, actually.
Yeah, there's really been a you know, a boost in traffic, and you know what else is, we've been able to set up a lot of matches with you know, out of the process with like MLG Pwncast, with Too Old to Play, with This Spartan Life, with HBO Helljumpers. You know, part of that is just a matter of getting it going again, because we had conversations going that kind of got stalled, but we're getting those going as well. So look forward to seeing what happens with those.
Yeah. And then the publicity from the Hump Day Challenge probably helped a lot.
Oh, yeah, big time, man. That was great. If you guys haven't seen it already, there is a Freakin' a Box did a video of that. Well, I took the video and then Freakin' a Box did all the editing and turned it into kind of a montage that was like the highlights from the Hump Day Challenge. Definitely worth checking out. It's very cool. So,
I personally recommend it.
Well, yeah, me too.
Right on. So yeah, what else we got here? Moving on to some general tips, right? Who wants to go first?
I guess I'll go first again. King Ryu O says, when you're playing a level such as Zanzibar, where there are fusion cores near the flag bomb plant zone, run into the cores as fast as you can, and hopefully you'll knock them over.
Okay.
Hopefully.
And that doesn't... when they're on the floor, push them into a place by the flag. Oh, I see where he's going with this.
Oh, run into the... That makes it... I mean, it's like as if you could run as fast as you can. Ah!
Very elite.
Yeah, and just hopefully they don't explode on you and they just knock.
Yeah. What he's saying is pile them up right by the flag bomb arm spot, and then someone comes close and shoot them, and yeah.
So, boom. Like, you dive first into the fusion cores, and then...
And then one of their guys has to walk into it like they're an idiot. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I wonder what that strange yellow glow is.
Yeah, so who's all next?
Right. All right, L, Stigmatic L, says... this is a little known fact about the advantage you have if you use surround sound while you're playing Halo 2. Surround sound speakers are a notable advantage when playing Halo 2. You actually hear explosions, gunfire, and even footsteps from the direction they're taking place. Imagine the advantage of suddenly being shot and hearing the direction the shot came from. Imagine hearing a boom of a sniper rifle and knowing the general direction from which the shot was fired. Imagine your fear as you hear the sudden twang of energy sword unsheathed directly behind you.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Dude, it does make a difference. Yeah, I tried that one.
Really?
I use.
Awesome.
Really? Wow.
I use 5.
It does.
Surround sound.
Oh, man.
I want to use like a big projector with it.
Oh, yes. I did that too.
Yeah, I put mine in like a movie theater and like, you know, whenever I play.
No, but there's nothing better than Halo on a projector with surround sound. Parents aren't home, so you can crank it up.
Yeah.
I play mine in the side of the building with, you know, sound room.
I actually did that.
If you play with JVB and you're playing in a cinema or movie theater, it's one time you can probably see JVB real life size.
Yeah, really. It's huge. Yeah, so I'm pumped, man. I'm going to get to meet JVB tomorrow, probably. Yeah, he's down here in Orlando on vacation.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Cool.
Wow, I'm so pumped, man. All right, so yeah. Anyway, who's next?
Okay, Legacy84 says he got some tips on turf. So what he says is, what I like to do on turf, like most people, is he goes for the nearest rifle, rather... it to be a BR, or the sniper. He calls it the snip.
The snip?
Anyways.
I'm going to snip at you.
I call snip, I get snip.
he usually like to stick around with the snip area and never stop moving it. Occasionally he will go for the snip rounds.
Oh, the snip spawn, yeah.
And make a circle around the map. And make a circle around the map.
Sorry, go ahead.
A lot of, he says, he would go get the snip rounds around and circle around the map. A lot of grenades and crouch walking usually gives him about an average of about 16 to 20 kills on turf. If you have a good team and stick around the sniper area watching all sides, there really shouldn't be a reason to lose. Communication. If this helps... he says, if this is any help, okay. If not, sorry, this is just what I do, and it works. It sounds like it would work pretty well, actually.
Yeah, keep on snipping, man. Good luck. Yeah.
Get those snip ammos, man.
Yeah.
Get those up.
Do you, like, maybe when he no-scopes, he goes, oh, no-scop. Or no-scope or something. Cut everything short.
Snip. I think he was trying to refer to snipe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Maybe he like spelled snipe wrong without the E.
I forgot the E, maybe.
Oh my gosh, man.
Just snip you to death.
Spell check didn't catch that one. So on to Delok, who says, my tip is for people with the S-type Xbox controllers. The sensitivity on the thumbsticks wears down with usage, so up your look sensitivity after a year. And in Halo 1, you can walk faster with the D-pad. Okay.
That's interesting.
What?
Really. I can imagine that that might happen. Depends on how much you play, I guess. I mean, because the tensility, for lack of a better word, of the you know, the sticks on the Xbox S controller is pretty tight. I mean, to where you have to press harder in a direction than you do on, you know, other controllers. So... I can imagine that eventually that would wear down, you know. But I don't know if it would wear down that much.
Heard of my controller's tip right here?
Hmm?
Can I insert my controllers?
Oh, please do, yeah.
Tip? Okay. I used to use the Mad Catz Mini controller, and don't know about if you guys know about them, but they usually wear out pretty fast. They're really good controllers, but they wear out.
And then are those the small ones?
Yeah, they're super small. They're smaller than the S. But then I switched to the S controller, and I was level 20 in snipers, and then as soon as I switched, I instantly jumped up to level 25. So what kind of controller you have affects how well you play a lot.
Yeah. You're not pressing all those buttons at once on those little controllers.
What do you guys think of the old-school Duke controllers, man?
I love it.
The monsters, man. Those things are sweet.
It was just fun to wrap your hands around.
I know, everybody,
I mean,
people used to always complain, they're so big, you know, and I don't know, yeah. I really liked them a lot, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw this guy, I was at a friend's house, and he had two of them, and they were, like, in perfect condition, and he had, like, this skateboarding stickers on it.
Hmm, man. Yeah. My stepson was selling his Xbox a while back, and he had, I remember he had the Duke controllers because he had, like, the original, you know, one of the original Xboxes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you got the Dukes, man. You got to sell those things separate. You're going to make good money on those things. And he's like, oh, really? Wow, I got to do that. Yeah, so he did. So it's pretty cool.
That's good.
Oh, that's wicked. They don't sell anymore, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so. You can get anything off eBay, though.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, they don't sell them retail, but you can get them on eBay, yeah. But anyway. So, who's next?
All right. I think you're up, Fimo.
Am I?
No, he did the last one.
Yeah, I just did the last one. Wow, you really lost track there.
So that's Freak in a Box.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's Freak. Okay, the Wheez says, hey, I have some good general tips and some tips for the map of the week, Turf. One good sword
Which
tip
is
to...
Huh? Oh, it's just previous map of the week. I mean, I got some in here that like left over from the previous month's map of the week, or map of the month rather, which was Turf. So I figured I'd just throw them in here with the rest of them. I mean, makes sense since there's no map of the month. Map of the month. Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyways, this one good sword tip is to keep the crosshair on your enemy. No, really. This.
Whatever you do, aim at your enemy.
Yeah. I like to have my back towards him when I kill him.
Yeah, like throw the bullets over your back. Here you go, one for you.
Butt rush the base.
Yeah, really, literally.
Okay.
You're gonna kill him. Don't look at him.
This keeps you from just lunging at them and missing. Oh, he means, like, after you actually lunge, keep the cursor over them.
Aha.
Which I think it does most of the time anyway. But
nonetheless, I guess aim at him continually.
Don't do somersaults mid-lunge.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, always jump right before you hit the enemy. This keeps you from flying off the map. A good sniping tip for Turf is to go over to the medical tent next... you jump onto the second wooden plank sticking out from the building on the left. Then you jump onto the open window where you can then jump onto the ledge in the front of you. Be careful not to jump too early or you'll hit your head and fall back down. From the ledge, you turn around and jump to the top of the building. This is really a good sniping spot as long as you have a teammate helping to guard you. That's all. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, that's like the classic jump spot that you can get on top of the building by the medical tent. Yeah, and then you can get across the street, do the same thing, and, you know, there's other stuff over there.
Yeah.
Personally, I use the – instead of going up on top of the building, I take a left and go under the wall where there's two little cracks in there that you can hide yourself in there. And it's really hard for people to see you. And from there, people can't see me, and people come onto the street, and I get triple kills like candy. It's a really good spot. Especially if you're red or blue. Wait, never mind.
Does Candy get triple kills? Just
no, I'm saying you hide better if you're red or if you're blue. Then I got myself confused.
I know, I'm just messing around. All right, so I think Expanded, you're up.
All right. Max says, in Turf, there are a lot of great spots to camp. My favorite spot is above the broodshot. Get up there and let the heads fly as you pick them off one by one with your sniper. My gamertag is kicksave 1080. P.S. Another great spot to camp is the high wall opposite the shotgun. Gives you a good view of almost the entire map. Nearly untouchable with a sniper or BR.
Okay.
I think that's where's the same shotgun as my guy was talking about.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I get it. You know that place you could break into through the glass?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's dark in there and it's close range, so you have a good chance with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool.
Sam 123 says, This is great for Team Slayer. It doesn't get you lots and lots of kills, but you will have at least 10 and barely any deaths. You first need to get brute plasma rifles and dual wield it with your SMG. You don't specifically need it. It just that it's the most powerful combo on the map. Then go to the street that is between the Scarab and the Med.
Right, Med.
It's the one with the.
Go to the dirt hut on the with the straw. No.
Yeah, you kind
of. Sam's like, dude, all I said was hut, man. You guys make fun of me because I said hut. Gosh.
But I didn't really catch that because you put a period after med and then hut.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the one with the big blue box in the center. It's good for camping because there are many rooftops you can jump on and you can run around box for cover. All you have to do is sit still and use your radar.
Good point.
That's sweet.
Anyway, Private Tucker says, alright, for Turf, just make sure your team controls the sniper rifle, BRs, and the shotgun. If your team camps out around the medical camp and the Warthog spawn, you'll have a good long-range advantage. Another strategy is to camp out near the brute plasma rifle spawn and away from the sniper. It's also vital to control the noob combo if you don't control the sniper. That's for Team Slayer. Very cool, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, there's problems with the there's problems with all of it really. That's why Bungie made it the way they did. But when you're at the medical tent, you got guys jumping in above you, which makes it really hard to be able to defend as they're coming down because you can't track vertically as fast as you can horizontally. So there's that, and then while you're at the other one over by the Warthog spawn, you got problems with people coming both directions and from the top and bottom. So, if someone surprises you, or if they blow up the Warthog, of course, that's even worse. Or any of the, or that truck that's over there, those two trucks, they'll do damage to you as well. So, you got to watch out for a whole bunch of different directions over there. Even if you are long range, you have the long range advantage, you still have the problem where you got people coming at you from multiple directions, many multiple directions, to where that can cause problems. So, anyway.
Okay, right. XX Lola Riot XX says, if you want to be cheap when you're close combat and you have no shield, click the crouch button and press B. You will kill them, but don't think you're so good because this is a noobish move.
Wow. Okay. So crouch down and punch them in the nuts.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was just the most, man.
Yeah, really. Watch Master Chief double over and go, oh!
That's the only where he's bleeding. He's on the ground.
Oh, man. That would be bad.
That move that people do all the time in matchmaking really, really annoys me.
Yeah.
It's hiding, then it's using a cheap hit and to kill you.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily bother me that they do that. It's just that, you got to use it at the right time. You got to anticipate when they're not paying attention to where you're going, and then be able to do that. So that they miss the headshot by trying to punch you out, and then you hit them in the groin, and then so long.
So basically, just watch out for your nuts.
Yeah, wear a cup when you're playing Halo.
Yeah. It helps a lot.
All right. Okay, so MSM 8 Ball says, when dual wielding the SMG and the plasma rifle at close range with an enemy, just shoot them for about half a second. Then melee them and they should be dropped and they should drop before they get a chance to shoot you twice with the BR. That's actually kind of a really helpful,
it's good especially for close range.
Yeah, like turf.
Like you did,
I go up and down the ramps and down the street with just like a plasma rifle and SMG, and I get killing sprees in less than a minute.
That's helpful. The only thing is, the only problem I have with SMG and plasma rifle is when you get to short to mid range and off into mid range, you start to have problems because the plasma rifle can't track and the bullets are slow.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, you have to lead the shots and you have to be able to hit them with a plasma rifle. Otherwise, they're firing with a BR and you're screwed because they can track right onto you. They have instant shots. So.
Yeah,
I don't know, but no, it is a good combo though. I don't mean to minimize that because I use that all the time as well. I'd much rather have that than a plasma pistol in a SMG.
Yeah. Another thing to do on turf is to whip out the Magnum and plasma rifle.
Yeah.
That could get good headshots in a few seconds.
No doubt, because as soon as you hit them with as soon as you blow their shields, you can just one headshot and they're down, which is good.
I tend to have a really hard time getting headshots with a pistol, though.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just kind of like, shotgun. It really spreads out at a further range and everything. So, I mean, I don't use it very much because I'm so used to, I'm pretty effective with the SMG. So, I'll grab dual SMGs, or if I can find it, I'll grab a plasma rifle and SMG, and I'll just go to town with that as long as I can stay close range. But, the pistol, I'm really not as effective for some reason at the pistol, Maybe it's because it's more accurate when their shields are down and everything, and I just hold them both down,
Yeah, I have that problem with shotguns. Like, I can use it sometimes, but most of the time, I can be standing literally right in front of them and shoot them in the head, or towards the head, and they maybe put their shields down, but it won't kill them. Someone else comes up to me with a shotgun, and one shot, I'm dead. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what you're used to.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, so...
Anthony,
go ahead.
Anthony Data says, if you have the rockets, don't get the ammo unless you run out of ammo. If you are getting killed and you have the rockets, or sniper in this case, it is best to shoot out as many ammo as you can that the other team doesn't have as much power with the power weapon you are using. Back to the rockets. This forces the other team to get the ammo. On the maps where there is extra rocket ammo, the guy going to get it is quite vulnerable. So if you get killed and the other guy gets the rockets and tries to go get for the ammo, you can most likely get your rockets back.
That's a good tip right there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because waste your ammo before you get, before you get killed, and then don't pick up extra ammo unless you run out. Because at that point, you're not gonna give the ammo to their team. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Okay, on to Clown X, who says best way to melee in games. He's saying the best way to melee in games like boxing, melee as you almost get in range of the enemy, and also switch to the boxer control scheme. Did you know BXR and BXP are easier with boxer for your control scheme? Okay. Finally, I have, he says, I've given him, I now use the default control scheme, not Green Thumb. Okay, I'm really confused, man. Boxer, Green Thumb, default, which one do you use? Are you suggesting, any of the three? I mean, I don't know.
No, when I was playing Fight Night, or with JDB and stuff, we would use, I think it was a Boxer control scheme, so... My left trigger would be the melee, so I can easily have my right thumb focus on crouching while my other hand was focusing on meleeing people, so I could be crouching and melee at the same time.
That's cool.
Because often when you're if you have normal, you have you're crouching with the left joystick, you're gonna have to take your thumb off it so you can melee. You kind of pop
right.
up. So
yeah. Good point. That's pretty cool. Okay, who's next?
Okay. Darif says, he has a lot of them. Okay. The most unused tactic of all is stick together. Yeah, that's really important.
It's true. I mean, even at high levels, man, people think they're hot stuff and they take off by themselves.
There is no limit to how much that helps. Honestly,
when that happens, I usually follow them, so just back them up.
That makes sense. At least, at least you're sticking together, even though it's like kind of like, why are you guys? Why do I have to follow you guys? But then it's like, you know, at least you're staying together and you're doubling your firepower. Wow. Big thunder out here.
Honestly, it makes a huge difference when your whole team goes into the base rather than just one at a time, just to be killed over and over and over again. To help stick together, once you respawn, to wait for the rest of your team to respawn. Then you can all go together at once.
Pretty cool.
It's a good tip, but sometimes just the mayhem of like a fight can really get you into a map all by yourself. Like sometimes like in Beaver Creek or in Waterworks, every one of my teams like fighting against someone, you know, focusing on killing instead of getting the flag or the bomb in there, and I just take the bomb or the flag and I walk my way to where I need to go and score.
Yeah,
it all depends on strategy.
But then, if you're just in matchmaking, people don't listen as much as if you're in a group. So it would be hard for them.
True.
There was this, I was in matchmaking with a friend from Pawtucket, and we came, and this guy on our team, it was like, Team Slayer VR, and this guy said, hey, and I said, hey, he didn't hear me. So then he starts rambling off about respect and stuff, and again, the game starts deranking, and while he's deranking, he's like saying, you know, you didn't say hi to me, you're not respecting me, and all this crap. He's like black or something. And so then I say, aren't you kind of emo if you're just deranking because so-and-so didn't say hi to you? You know, and it's just kind of mouth off at him, and then all of a sudden he starts playing again, and all because of him, we've won. He came back with 21 kills.
Dang.
Wow.
As I was with Unknown Knight, and he said, called him a crazy black man.
Wow.
It's weird.
Anyways.
All I wanted was respect. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Another... another tip from Darif is turn off your controller vibration because it'll improve your aim when you're getting shot. Does anyone know if that actually the vibration actually screws you up that much?
Not sure. It makes sense kind of, but nah.
How hard is this controller vibrating?
If it falls out of your hands.
Okay, on the vibration. I've tried that before. I've heard another guy say that really helps your game. And I've tried it, and I have trouble with it because I can't tell when I'm getting hit as much. I'm used to the feedback of the vibration, you know?
It makes a big difference.
And plus, it really brings me more into the game. I mean, even if it does mess up my game a little bit, I think it's kind of a sacrifice that's worth it because it just makes it more fun, you know? It really brings you more into it to where you, like, feel like you're getting hit, you're melee'd, and, you know, your snipe and everything. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it brings me more into it to where I can really feel the whole deal.
Yeah. And Sony doesn't seem to notice that. How the Rumble feature.
Yeah, exactly, man. Sony, dude. Well, yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax. I could go on forever on that one.
we all know that it's just because they don't want to get their butts sued off in court.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's all the stuff about it not working with their you know movement system and everything is all a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. It's all because they, you know, they had the problem with the DualShock, the lawsuit and everything and. That didn't work out, so it turns out they have to drop the whole DualShock thing and turn it into the dual whatever they call it now.
The tilt controller or something.
Yeah.
Okay, well, last tip from Derek. I'm going to skip a few. When you melee an opponent, you can do extra damage if you run towards them or jump and melee them.
Yeah.
And that is really true. When you are moving towards them, it does 150% damage.
Oh, wow.
And then Or it might be 125, but then I know that when you jump and are coming down, it's 150% damage also.
Oh, that's powerful because... right there.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could find out how many, what the percent is.
Well, I read a lot.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. It's cool because, you know, you have the physics of gravity and stuff helping you kill them.
Yeah. And then if you're moving backwards, it actually makes your attack weaker.
Wow.
Oh.
That's wild.
So, like, if someone's running towards you and you're running backwards, your melee doesn't affect as much.
Yeah.
So if you're running away from someone, run towards them as the, right before you melee, and it'll, yeah, help
yeah.
you out.
Have you ever noticed how sometimes it takes 3 hits to beat someone down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Probably why.
Nice, okay. Good to know.
Okay.
All right, so I think Expanded, you're up, dude.
All right. So Mythic Elite says, I play Coagulation a lot. In Halo, on Halo, Halo 2 and Halo PC. So I know some things you should do or not do on this map. He's got quite a few here.
Yeah,
so
it's got a
number
lot.
One, I'll just go with the main ones. When you're going into the caves, always talk. Always take someone with you. It is likely there will be one, if not two, enemies in the caves as well, and this will give you a better chance. Never take the tank out of the base area. Assume the tank is on the map. If you do not, then the other team can take it and hold both the Wraith and the tank for the rest of the game by keeping it in their own base.
Okay. In their base? I mean, what do? Miniaturize the tank or something? No. They got Transformer tank? Like, make it all small.
So frag grenades are fragmentation grenades are good, but not only so much. On this big of a map, it's best to just use sticky grenades. They work better on warthogs and ghosts, and are generally more effective and guarantee you a kill.
That's true.
I don't know.
As long as you don't, except for the long distance, because you can determine the distance on a frag grenade, and they're much faster at getting there. So I think that's why people use frag grenades with BRs a lot, is because you can, they're faster getting there, so they're not like I'm coming at you, you better run out of the way kind of thing with a sticky grenade. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what you're trying to go for. If you are trying to go for a vehicle, it'll stick to the ground or just stick to the vehicle, so it's more predictable in that where it's going to land and where it's going to stay. So yeah, that makes sense in vehicles.
Yeah. I would say use both, switch between them when you need one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
When you're on top of the base.
Yeah.
On top of the base and coag, you just throw those grenades into those corners. Those fragment grenades bounce around the walls and get the guy.
You know, I think that's one thing that noobs eventually learn, is that grenades are, like, extremely powerful. And honestly, I really don't think there's any noobs listening to this show, that people that are new to Halo 2, because you guys have, I'm sure, been playing Halo 2 for a while. Hey, it's been out a heck of a long time, so, you know. It's not like people are going, Halo 2, it's out? Oh my gosh! I gotta get in. So we realize that, and we're trying to, like, orient these tips towards you guys, so it's cool, you know. Oh my gosh, Halo 2 just came out. Ah!
Oh my god.
Mom!
I saw a kid that was kind of like that last summer. I was at like a GameStop in California, and this kid was like looking at like a Halo 2 limited edition. He's like, whoa. And then like, his dad's like, what's that? It's like, it's this really cool game. And I'm like, I'm just kind of like, yeah, it is kind of cool. Because I was just walking by. And this other kid did the same thing as well. And so we're trying to... And this kid was like 12 years old or something, 11, 12 years old, trying to help him get that limited edition. Anyways.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Sweet, man. Oh, look at the metal, it's shiny.
Shiny. Okay. So Mythic Elite also says... Call him. So Mythic Elite says in number 9, in Team Slayer games in Oddball, use your base as your base. don't go into the caves or something. Use your base. You can easily guard it, and the enemy can't easily take it.
That's a good point, actually, you know? I mean, if you force them to go close range or go long range on your own terms, then mm-hmm. you can actually use it as, like, defend the base. I guess it depends on if you're ahead, then yes, that's a good idea. If you're behind, not a good idea. Yeah.
Okay, last one from Mythic Elite. Unless you're the best of the best in sniping, don't worry about headshots. You have the ammo to spare for a two-shot kill. It is always spawning, so you don't have to conserve your ammo.
It's always spawning.
This guy must be typing upside down or something.
That's what it is, man. He's like hanging from the ceiling and typing on his computer. How'd you know? Wow.
I got Sixth Sense.
Oh, I guess so.
I saw this guy do that with a piano. This kid was like 14 on TV, and he was like, they hung him from the ceiling by his feet, and he was playing the keyboard up from the ceiling.
You heard it here first on Podtacular, the upside down piano. Tell your friends.
Oh, yeah. Man. Spartan Hugger 4. I think he likes Spartan.
I spit on my drink, man. No, it's just the upside down piano.
Anyways. Spartan Hugger 444. I mean, 44 says, well, it's a funny tip to clean your discs if they ever get scratched or something. First, you take the disc and stick it in your toilet.
Okay.
What the hell? Okay.
Right.
Make sure you turn it upside down and then flush. Again, don't forget to make sure it covers the hole. Once you finish, take it out and dry it with whatever. Wash your hands and get back to playing the game. This really gets your disc working as good as new, trust me.
Okay. Sorry, Spartan Hugger, I don't really trust you on that one, man.
Yeah, I also heard crushing your disc and putting it back in makes it work, too.
Yeah. That's a good way to wash your hair, too, though.
I heard that if you cover it with toothpaste, it actually works, too.
Yeah?
The discs. I actually heard that from some.
Then if you just take and start chewing on it a little bit?
Yeah. If you chew on it and then cover your disc with toothpaste and then put it in the toilet and flush it, you're in good shape. You'll actually get new maps that way.
Trust us.
Yeah, bonus.
It's how you wash all the modders out of your game.
No, I mean, I remember this forum post, this guy was talking about this. And a couple of people actually posted and said, oh, wow, I tried this, and it made, like, lockout load, and it didn't normally load. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you freaking flush your disc down the toilet, man.
That's what Spellcheck did.
Oh, yeah, that explains it, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like Halo anymore.
Well, that's why, why his disc got messed up. No. So, who's up?
Yeah. I think it's... I don't know.
G. Lewis.
Yeah. No, I mean, G. Lewis isn't here, so who's up?
I think it's you.
Here, I'll go.
Yeah, go.
Okay, the reason why I pwn noobs like Salmonator is basically because I try to think outside the box while playing. Go to places your opponent wouldn't think you'd go, or trying to do something so noobish that it actually works. For example, the sniper ramp on Lockout. Never go there unless needed. It's a spot where people wait for an easy kill. There's many different ways to get to the second level of the sniper tower, like the shortcut by jumping onto the ledges from the bottom floor from the main central area. To get good at maneuvering around maps, take some time jumping around each map to find the best ways it is for you to get the upper hand. Play by yourself, learning each pixel of the map so you don't have to worry about a thing while playing. Another reason why I pwn is because of communication. Without communication, his team is basically four people going out on their own, which typically won't work. Wow, man, there's a dog going crazy back there.
Oh my gosh, it's me, it's right. Oh.
It's like, row, 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 kill you, row!
No, it's a stupid neighbor. He puts his dog in a cage or something.
Dang.
I wonder why he's barking.
PCA, man. Yeah, really, I wonder why he's barking.
Well, Fumo, you said
he's like,
row, row, row,
that was a good tip, row, row, row. Like that one, row, row, row. So anyway, he's saying another reason why I pull him because of communication. Okay, you might think this is like a basic tip, right? But if you play enough of matchmaking, it's like it's not, because people just don't use it because they think they're hot stuff and they go out on their own. Without communication, a team is basically four people going out on their own, which typically won't work. Call out when you see an opposing player, telling where he is and if he has a power weapon or not. This will greatly help you and your teammates throughout the game. So for all you noobs out there that want to become like a level 25 like the G, use these tips, get yourself better. Once you think yourself good enough, hit me with a PM asking for a shot at the All-Stars at Podtacular. Yeah.
Yeah. He learned to think outside the box, outside the Xbox.
Of course, some all of you guys above level 25 are like, level 25, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So.
That would be me. That would be me. Okay, triple wielding. L Stigmatics L says triple wielding. Here's the process. Pick up a clipped dual wieldable weapon, SMG, he suggests. Press Y to switch to your secondary weapon. Dual wield another SMG. Pick up another SMG for your main weapon. You will know it's done right when your SMGs have more than 360 bullets in reserve each. When this is done right, shoot both guns at the same time, and the third SMG in your reserve shoots out of your head.
Nice.
No. Very easy and very handy to do on midship with plasma rifles and Team Slayer.
Dang. Can I do that in real life?
No.
I'm going to do that sometime. I'm going to, like, grab a, like a Glock or something, then grab another one, and then, like, switch them back and forth until I have guns shooting out of my head, man. See if it works.
You can triple wield
your weapons.
But triple wielding allows you to hold more bullets, so you don't have to go find more ammo when you need to. But I don't know about coming out of your head.
I've heard that before on like the Needler, for instance, being able to triple wield a Needler, but it was all about like, you know, crouching down and grabbing and dropping and all this stuff. It was just, I don't know. I've never been able to do it. I mean, I've heard it. I know it can be done, but I just don't know, you know, how exactly to do it. Mm-hmm. Apparently this is the way. I don't know. Interesting. I'd like to see it happen and actually see like bullets coming out of somebody's head on that. Yeah. But, never seen it happen.
Could have been just like a reflection in his visor or something.
I don't know. No, I think it really does work because, like, that guy ends up, like, getting freaking double kills all over the place and everything and just ends up beating someone, you know, way before they can kill him, even with needlers and stuff. I mean, it's like, come on, yeah.
Yeah. I think for episode 5 of Pod TV, I'm going to do a Mythbusters.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be awesome, yeah. We should totally do that, man. Great idea.
That is a good idea.
Find if there really is the golden warthog up in those pipes.
Yeah, really. It's like showing you, like, okay, so as you can see, we've been shooting the wall for 20 yeah. minutes to try to bring the hunters out, and so far, no hunters. Let's keep trying.
An hour later.
So yeah.
A little count-up timer in the bottom corner.
Yeah. No, that'd be sweet, though. That's a really good idea. Who's next?
Okay, so Brent Gamer says, two teams, one flag. It's the ultimate battle for superiority. On Zanzibar, the stakes are even higher. A seawall, a huge metal fan, and a high security base stands between you and the flag. Here are my tips for capture the flag on Zanzibar. When you first spawn, make sure you tell your teammates that if you don't win, you'll force their girlfriends to work in a Korean sweatshop. Sadly, only one person other than you on your team actually has a girlfriend.
Nice. That's, tip.
That may not work then. Okay.
Okay.
On to number two, yeah.
If you get the sniper rifle, treat it like it's your own infant daughter. Change his diaper, cradle when it cries, and if you're fat enough, breastfeed it.
Okay.
Sorry, not fat enough.
Just some awesome tips. Yeah. So next one.
Okay. A good maneuver that you can make to kill the defensive team involves a drive-through window. Someone else take this. Oh, go ahead.
A good maneuver that you can make.
Ah, who's up?
That's me. Wait, alright, let's start. Alright, good maneuver that you can make to kill the defensive team involves a drive-through window, sesame seed buns, three grease tramps, and set up a McDonald's over at the defensive base and watch the heart attacks begin.
That will do McDonald's. It, man. Okay, sorry. So set up a McDonald's over the defensive base. Nice. Be like, come on in, Big Macs and cheeseburgers for everyone.
Super size.
Yeah, super size, yeah.
Actually,
extra crispy fries, please.
Me and Brett Gamer actually called McDonald's and asked if they had a noob combo for Skype. And they didn't. We really didn't.
What?
No, they didn't.
What a crappy restaurant, man.
They didn't know what that was. She called the manager.
What you guys should get that on.
What kind of fast food restaurant doesn't know what a combo meal is?
Do they have like a noob tube or a noob stick or anything like that?
Nope.
If you ever do that again, you should record that.
I know, man.
Record it.
You gotta record it and send it in, man. Oh yeah, send it in, dude. Oh.
I think you should send that
in. We also called some GameStops. Or game spots, whatever, and we called one and we called another and put them in the same thing. And then actually, the two guys at the different game stops knew each other. They started talking, they all got confused with talking. Like, one guy was trying to talk to us. He was really mean. Anyways, I have that.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Anyways, so we called this guy that worked at a game stop, and all he played was PS2 and GameCube.
Wow. Together at the same time?
Yeah. No. I think it's different times.
Wow. Like with his feet and his hands and everything?
No, it's with his third hand.
Man.
You're on his chest.
Expanded. You got a lot of stories, man.
Yeah, dude.
Just upside down. Oh,
one time I was walking out of
school. I really do.
And this one time at band camp?
One time.
Exactly. That always comes up.
And, one time I was waiting for the bus, and you know what happened.
Got a lot of stories of waiting for the bus. Alright. So, Brent Gamer also says, if there is a gay guy on your team, let him grab the flag when you run into the base, enemy base. He's better at grasping the pole.
I suppose he is.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
Not thinking about it. Not thinking about it.
Block this out of my mind.
Oh, my goodness. If one... Thinking about it. If you're one of the smart people that saves a warthog for when your team has a flag, you need to have a designated spot to pick up the flag carrier. Just make sure you get him back home before 11 p.m. or else his dad will get mad at him.
This is so random.
What time is it? I don't care if you have the flag.
Grounded, gotta get home.
You're grounded, Master Chief.
No.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what? We're approaching a long period of time, and we got to get to our interview with Mother Goat. So let's play a portion of that. And here we go, guys. This is gonna be really good. I'm looking forward to it. So here we go. Hey guys, Fumo Jive here, and I am here with Mother Goat, who is contributed a lot of different ways to the Halo community. Mother Goat, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do in the Halo community?
Well, I think my big splash in the Halo community started a couple years ago when I created the Halo 117 Anthem, which was essentially a rock take on the main melody everybody remembers from Halo. And that seemed to catch on really quick. And, you know, I found HBO about the same time. And so people just really responded well. So it kind of forced me to want to create more music of the same type, because I'm a big fan of Marty O'Donnell and Halo, obviously. So, after that, I mean, I was the video games editor for Lawrence.com magazine back in Lawrence, Kansas, and you know, I was thrilled when Halo PC finally came out, and we found out that tools, the Halo editing kit, was actually going to come out. So I'm like, this is something that I really want to do, and get into, you know, making multiplayer maps for Halo. I mean, that just sounded like a dream come true, just to do it for fun. So, yeah. And so I just started making maps and meeting people through the Gearbox forum, and some people from Halo mods, and I just kept hacking away at it, and yeah, eventually I just thought, you know what, I need to do this full time. So I created a portfolio that housed my latest Halo maps, and long story short, I'm actually in Seattle now, about to start my first development job, creating levels for THQ in their Cranky Pants studio.
Wow, so, congratulations.
Thanks, man. But and every now and then I'll do a tangent, like the multiplayer dysfunction videos that are just totally goofy and off the wall. But people respond well to those too, so I have fun, you know, going off on comedic tangents like that.
Wow, so you cover kind of a broad spectrum of things there with the videos, the music, and the Halo CE maps. So that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. I wanted to ask on the music. I'm also, you know, a really big fan of Marty O'Donnell as well, and just the Halo soundtrack was always like a major part of it for me. I mean, what got you into that? You know, originally.
Well, just booting up Halo for the first time. I mean, the chants just completely catch you off guard when all of the other action games are pretty one-dimensional, and in comes this hybrid symphony monk rock thing with some tribal beats, and at first you're like, what the heck is this? And not because it's bad, just because it's just so different, but right. Marty finds a way to orchestrate it in such a way that it all works, and he really understands context really well. So when the music needs to be the background and support the drama that's going on, whether it's a cutscene or actual gameplay, he does that perfectly. So not only is his music brilliant, but he understands the context of a video game very well.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, we got a whole bunch of... We actually posted this, guys, on podtacker.com and asked for questions on there. So kind of going to go through some questions that people have for Mother Goat here on podtacker.com. So the first one is from Darth Ball Z45, who says, where did you come up with the name Mother Goat?
Funny story. One day I was trying to come up with like phrases that substituted for common cuss words at a Halo land. So at one point I got really pissed off at something. I died. I don't know. I don't remember what it was. And I shouted "pissless mother goat" at the top of my lungs for no apparent reason. And so the whole house just started laughing their butts off. And the rest of the day, they just called me Mother Goat. And obviously, it kind of stuck. So my gamer tag, my alias, pretty much everywhere is now Mother Goat. And of course, my main site, mothergoat.net, is that's where it all originated. Pissless Mother Goat.
Wow, that explains it. So you dropped the pissless, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it just got too long.
Didn't have quite the ring to it, the Mother Goat.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
So,
well, what gave you the ideas for some of your Halo CE maps?
It may sound completely obvious, but Halo's gameplay, Halo has a very dramatic sense of verticality and got the killer vehicles that really broaden the canvas for a map designer. So there are so many possible moments that the Halo gameplay fosters, be it, you know, flying warthog awesomeness or crouch jumping to not obvious geometry or powerful weapons or useful grenades, that it's just so inspiring to actually design for. So in each of my maps, I try to cater to most, if not all, of Halo's many, many layers.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, well, that question came from TFD, by the way. Also from Painkiller05, he says, how do you make maps, and on average, how long does it take to make one?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a big question, but you have to have a third-party 3D modeling program supported by Halo's editing kit, like 3D Studio Max. I guess you have to plan out some moments, the models, textures, then place the weapons, the spawns, the game type indicators, then you test it. Then you go back and make changes until you've come to a map that you can personally be proud of. But, I mean, that is a very, very abbreviated version of how to do it. There's no right or wrong way to design or plan a map, but you know what? I've played hundreds of maps in the community, and it's really obvious who spent time planning out the gameplay on a map. I find that a lot of people flock to the prettiest looking maps or the ones with the latest gimmick when they're actually not fun to play if after one or two games. It's hard to say how much time each map takes from concept to completion, since all of my maps have been done, you know, within the mod community, passing art and geometry back and forth over the internet, having, you know, 1 to 5 team members working on it at a time whenever they get the chance. So I would say mine have taken anywhere from 3 weeks to, you know, months until I'm happy with the result.
Interesting. Okay. And when you start working on a map, are you starting from like an idea of maybe the visuals, or are you more starting with the gameplay idea, as far as like, you know, it would be neat if this was a big turning point in the match, or, you know, this would be a good, you know what I'm saying? Are you starting with more like a visual or a feeling concept around the whole thing, or are you more starting with, or does it depend?
For me, I usually start strictly with the gameplay design, because I'm a designer and not necessarily an artist. I always have an environment in mind, but I'm very much a team player, so Capture the Flag is one of my favorite modes ever. When I build maps, I try to design different areas that people can hold and capture, or nodes, if you will.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that when people are playing team games, there's a couple different ways to get to a certain place and a couple different critical places in the map to hold and to fight, you know, fight for positions. So I always start there and sketch out some ideas on paper before I do anything else.
Interesting. Do you generally have like a hierarchy of important places on the map to hold, or is it more just kind of a lot of cases it's generally equal places?
I would say different places. I wouldn't want to create just one place that's the supreme place to hold, because if that's really ever achieved, it's like a bottleneck where the rest of the game, you know, breaks away from there, where there should be 2 or 3 places you can hold for a sense of power so it doesn't, you know, end the game so quickly.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Let's see here. We got one from Salmonator, who says, can Salmonator get a free copy of Halo CE for PC?
I think he was trying to be funny with that, but yes, you can get a free copy of Custom Edition, but you have to have a valid PC key. Ha ha ha. But yeah, you can download Halo Custom Edition anywhere, especially MotherGoat.net.
Sweet. Yeah, G. Lewis writes in asking one, what do you feel about people who use mods for the wrong reasons? Could you care less? Do you approve of it? Or do you share our feelings and are completely against it?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody has their own definition of what wrong reasons are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, very shortly, if you're ripping off somebody's work without giving them due credit or taking sales away, like ripping games, then I believe, of course, it's wrong. And if you're modding to gain an advantage, like cheating on Xbox Live, then yeah, then it's wrong. But modding in general for machinima or to goof around on your Xbox when you're not harming anybody else, that's harmless fun. But obviously, I think there's a fine line.
Sounds like you agree with where we're coming from on that, so cool. Matt Gecker writes in saying, what is one of your favorite maps and why? Symmetrical or asymmetrical? Do you like Bungie's maps for Halo 2? And this is more than one question, but okay. And what kind of features are you looking forward to on Halo 3, if any?
This is what I call a can of worms question. but I'm going to keep it as abbreviated as possible. Okay, I can't pick out one of my favorite maps, but let's just say Sanctuary, Lockout, Prisoner, Longest, and Elongation, Derelict, Damnation, Blood Gulch from Halo 1, Ice Fields and Danger Canyon from PC, and then Casualty Gorge and Fissure Fall that came out of the community. Those all embody the strengths of the game they were made for. There are multiple paths, the variety in angles, the ins and outs, and great weapon placements all make these maps shine for the games that they are in. Now, there's a lot of to-do about this whole symmetrical versus asymmetrical, and I think the argument, frankly, is really overblown. If you're designing a map correctly, unless it's specifically for a one-sided game like One Flag CTF, then the gameplay should always be symmetric in so much that each side's spawns should have access to equal advantages, even though the art is asymmetric.
Right.
Hopefully I can explain that better. So in other words, it looks asymmetrical with regard to both sides not being mirror images of each other, but the pace is equal for both sides.
Okay.
So that whole asymmetry equals automatically better crowd, it's I kind of equate that with those people that call for more realism in games that deal with aliens, a fabricated religion, spaceships, AI, and super soldiers. It's like the people who begged for vehicle damage without realizing what kind of an impact that would have on gameplay. Now, Halo 2, I mean, it's a great game. I love playing it. But the bigger maps seem unevenly paced by default. There are some good design things going on in maps like Waterworks and Containment, but destructible vehicles mixed with auto lock on rockets really shorten the lifespan of these maps. I mean, it's a heck of a long walk without vehicles to use. The fact that well-placed grenades don't really disrupt vehicles anymore also truncates the gameplay possibilities. So, overall, I mean, Halo 2 maps are mostly great, but the aforementioned vehicle flaws make me wish there were more small and medium maps for Halo 2. Now, as far as Halo 3, you know what? If I don't have access to a rocket launcher, I still want to feel useful against vehicles when I'm on foot, as far as multiplayer goes. So I kind of hope that grenade or infantry versus vehicle combat is given more life, and I think it was just kind of taken away a little bit in Halo 2. But other than that, you know, give me more cowbell, and I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense with, you know, you'd think grenades would make a significant impact on, like, a rolling warthog that gets blown a grenade underneath it or something like that, and, you know.
Well, it's tough for me because, I mean, Halo 1, one of the greatest things that I loved about Halo 1 was how much air you could get with a warthog and how, even though it was a much stripped-down physics model, the physics model was actually more fun. Like, in a couple of my maps that I've designed were designed with a couple ramps for warthogs to catch some cool air and just some really fun high-flying moments that were stylistic, but they were also they also had a function to perform.
Okay. And that was our interview. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We're going to get to the next portion next show and continue on with that. So, right on. Hey, tune in next week, guys, for the Customs and Call-In show where we're going to be talking about the top two or three custom games people send in. We're going to play back voicemails for the month, tell some tales from the foxhole, and play a little bit more of that interview with Mother Goat as well. So, yeah.
Cool.
So, if you want to send in your voicemail, you can call us at 206-888-HALO. That's 206-888-4256.
Also, vote for us at podcastawards.com.
Yeah. Yeah, they got some pretty cool awards on there. We got a post on podtacular.com as well with a link for that. And send in your tips to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going, and we ask for new stuff for the show every week. So, hey, check it out at podtacular.com. We have some rocking forums there, too, for you guys to check out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and, yeah, going twice in a row here, but, sorry guys, I gotta mention is that I've gotten so many emails about this lately that just real quick I need to clarify is that right now we're not scheduling any new guest hosts, just the ones that have been on the show before. It may change in the future, but only very active community members will be able to be guest hosts. And also, if anyone had any problems putting Pod TV Episode 3 on their iPod videos, just re-download it. It should work now. It's all fixed, so... Let's go check out.
Okay, shout out to Cyclonic for editing our audio this episode.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, thanks, Cyclonic, you're man.
Yeah. Yeah,
Cyclonic thinks Cyclonic's a pretty good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
So until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm Freak in a Box.
I'm Expanded Flame.
And I'm Cyclonic.
Keep on fragging trucks.
There's only one thing left to say.